What's up, and welcome to the Real Life Podcast. Real Life is the student ministry of North Highland Church located in Columbus, Georgia. We exist to reach others with the love of God, engage in Christian community, advance in our faith, and lead others to Christ. For more information about Real Life, you can visit us at reallifecolumbus.com or follow us on all social media platforms at Real Life Columbus. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you enjoy.
What is up, Real Life? How y'all doing tonight? There we go. We got like 10 people ready for God's word. How y'all doing tonight? Y'all came ready to worship. Great job, Real Life Worship Squad. Can we give it up for our band? We love them so much. Thank you so much for serving us so well. Tonight, I'm excited because God has something powerful he wants to instill in us tonight. I don't know about you, but I like to fight. I don't know about you, but I don't like to lose. Anyone like to lose in the house? No, you're lying, girl. I don't like to lose. I like to win. And I like, yeah, losing weight. See, here's the deal. A lot of times we don't fight because we're afraid. And most of the time fear comes from things we don't understand. And so tonight, in order to live your best life, you can't be afraid. And so even though you don't know what's going on, some of y'all this evening, as I was mingling and talking with some of you, some of y'all had a bad week. Can I get a witness? Some of your classes are just terrible. It's hard. You don't understand. There's things that are confusing. And so it's causing you to be somewhat afraid. And I'm here tonight with a word from God that is specific and it's intentional. Man, just because you don't understand what's going on doesn't mean God's not in control. And so tonight, God is calling you and me to not be afraid. When we begin to discover, develop, and deploy the gifts that God has placed in us, it begins to change our lives and it changes the world around us. Tonight, I've got a friend that I want to share something. Clayton Shirley, many of you know him as an incredible servant to Real Life. He is a fine arts extraordinaire. Clayton has firsthand experience how fine arts has been a catalyst in his life. And I wanted to give him a few moments to express how fine arts has given him confidence to not live in fear, but to live with power in his life. And before I do that, before Clay comes, I have a question that I'd like for you guys to respond to. So the question is this, and I'm going to put my cell phone up on the screen. And the question is this: what are you afraid of tonight? That's the simple question. What are you afraid of? What makes you anxious? What gives you anxiety? What causes you to stay awake at night instead of fall to sleep quickly? Are there any fears in your life that are seeming to hold you back right now? So while we welcome Clayton Shirley to the stage, go ahead and do that for me. Text me some of your fears. It's going to come up later. But can we welcome to the stage Mr. Clay Shirley? Come on, give it up, Real Life.
How's everybody doing? Awesome, awesome. We got fine arts kids in the house. Some fine arts kids. So I'm going to paint a little picture for you guys. So 7 years ago, I get to North Highland. I have no friends. I'm taller than everybody else. I look like I'm in college. I've looked like this right here, since I was a freshman in high school. I'm huge. And so I'm super nervous. I get here probably like in October of that year. And I start, you know, North Highland has this thing about them that they love fine arts. It's like our thing, like we do, that's our thing. And so I get here, I'm like, I'm not doing fine arts. They're like crazy over here. They're like the military. They make you do lunges around the church and wall sits and stuff like that. If you've never done fine arts, you're not, you don't understand. They're serious about it. And if you don't know what fine arts is, it's basically just this competition and you do human video and you can preach, you can sing, you can do the whole nine yards. But at this point in my life, I am the most, I'm awkward. I'm still awkward. I'm awkward. I'm kind of awkward right now, honestly. And so I'm sitting in a practice like a month after I get here, and I'm sitting in a practice, and like, I don't know if you guys know Juan, but Juan's like coaching this practice, and he's just like looking at me. And when you see a big kid that's like not doing fine arts, like a tall kid that looks like he's strong, you're like, all right, this is the guy that I'm going to get. And so I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh, this is stupid. I don't want to do this. And so then Juan, I'm like walking back to real life. We're like up in the sanctuary, and Juan just pulls me into the cafeteria. And I'm like, I feel like I'm about to get mugged. I don't know what's happening. This is very weird. And he's like, you're doing fine arts. And I was like, no, I'm not doing fine arts. You guys are like Nazis. This is weird. I'm not about this. And he's like, no, you're doing it. And I'm like, no, I'm not. And then I started it. best decision I've ever made, seriously. This is so serious. If you don't know what fine arts is, find one of us, talk to me, talk to somebody, because fine arts will literally change your life. I don't think that I would still be here. I don't think I would be on the stage if I'm not doing fine arts. Like in the beginning, I'm just doing human video, and then you start doing like smalls, and then you do like dramas. We've got top five. I don't think anyone's in here, but we got top five in small drama. My junior and my senior year, crazy, bro. Top five, crazy. But seriously, it gives you so much confidence. It breaks your fears away. It gives you a community of people that you can lean back on. Like, I still talk to people that were in my human video. I think Jonah and I were on a team one time. No strings. What's up, dog? And then now what's really cool is I get to pour into, like, students now. Like, my boy Daniel, Rebecca, my freaking little sister comes to North Highland, and now I get to coach her. And, like, fine arts is just this huge domino effect, and like just I look back and I'm like, you know, if I don't do fine arts, I'm probably not at CLC. I'm probably not on stage. I'm not working for real life. I'm not doing anything. But I promise, like, if you've got a fear or you're nervous about being on stage or doing any type of fine arts, like, I challenge you, just talk to somebody about it, because we would love to have you. And yeah. That's about it. Thank you for listening to me.
Give it up. Give it up. Come on, we can do better than that. Give it up for Clay. As we begin week three of Your Best Life, God wants me to communicate something clearly to us. And this is it. We will not live our best life while living in fear. We will not live our best life while living in fear. Fear and anxiety is something that each and every one of us deal with. Every single person is not exempt from fear. Just because you have courage does not mean there are moments where you are literally afraid. Everyone has fears that they have to face. One of the number one fears in our culture, in the United States and globally, is something that I literally have to face on a weekly basis. The fear of public speaking. Literally, statistics have proven that in polls, people are less afraid of dying than they are of publicly speaking. Some of you would pee your pants if I walked off this stage, walked up to you and dragged you up on this stage and put the microphone to your face. You would hate me and never come back because you are afraid of public speaking. Can I get a witness? Here we go. Let's see where some of our fears are. Let's see if any of y'all text. Oh, yeah, I got plenty of texts. Let's see what we got. Ooh, that's a good one. Somebody said, I'm scared of not living up to my parents' expectations. That's huge. Freshman year, I got over the fear of fear because I knew that I only had to fear one thing, and that was God. That's a good text. Ooh, from that point on, that's been my mentality. You better preach, boy. Someone else said, I fear failure. Someone else said, fear of not being strong enough. Amen. That's real. I'm afraid of losing friends. Can I get a witness? Fear of never being able to achieve my goals and creating a better future for myself. Man, I cannot wait for God's word to teach you tonight. Being forgotten, a fear of being forgotten. How many of y'all have a fear of missing out? FOMO. Y'all got some FOMO in the house tonight. My biggest fear, here's a funny one. My biggest fear is clowns. People are scared of clowns. I fear hurting people or letting people down. That's a big one. Not being good enough. Another person, a different person, I promise you, I'm afraid of clowns. I'm afraid that my past will catch up with me. There are a lot of fears that we face as human beings. But tonight, one of the reasons these fears have such power in our everyday lives is that our generation, for the first time in history, every one of us has access to absolutely everything that's going on everywhere all the time. All the time, you have media feeds. Social media is bombarding you with different feeds of negativity all across the world. We are constantly being bombarded with the negative that goes on in the world around us. And psychologists are literally saying that our generation is growing to be the worst at controlling our own emotions when it comes to how to react to all this information that we have at our disposal. And literally, the studies are showing that we are becoming the most anxious generation ever. We are the most anxious generation to ever walk this planet. I was doing some studying for tonight, and I found that the number one cause of our generation needing clinical counseling is anxiety. More and more students are seeking counseling, and the numbers are growing. Man, the reason that students are seeking counseling on a regular basis is to deal with the levels of anxiety in our lives. We are afraid to fail. We're afraid to have the world around us criticize us. We're afraid that the world around us is going to hurt us. And I believe God wants to speak to your fears tonight. I believe God wants you to live your best life, and you need to hear this truth loudly and clearly tonight. Most of the things you worry about never actually happen. Most of the things that you are anxious about don't actually ever happen. If you have a problem with a friend and you have to say something that's difficult and you play it out in your mind, come on, who's with me? If you ever have to say something hard to someone and you kind of play it out in your mind's eye and you think this is how it's going to go, you always go to worst case scenario. But the things that you worry about usually don't happen that way. God wants us to stop spending so much time and energy worrying about what might happen and start making things happen. He's called us to not be warriors, but warriors. The anxiety that holds you back has no real power over your life, except the power that you give it. Man, fear is a facade, real life. It's fake. Our God has the power to overcome any obstacle in our life. He created the stars in the sky with a breath, the psalm says. With a the millions of burning balls of helium and energy. I'm not a scientist, praise the Lord. But if we were to position this planet just a little bit closer to our one sun, we would burn to death. And God created millions upon millions of stars with a single breath. And if he's powerful enough to do that, he's powerful enough to deal with your problems tonight. Somebody should get excited about that tonight. Tonight we're looking at the story of Daniel and how he refused to let fear and anxiety hold him back from who God had called him to be. The story begins in Daniel chapter 6. If you got your Bibles, it's going to be on the screen too. Daniel chapter 6, verse 3, it says, Daniel soon proved himself. I like Daniel. He proved himself to be more capable than any of the administrators or high officers. He was a boss. Because Daniel's great ability, don't get a big head in this front row, because of Daniel's great ability, the king made plans to place him over the entire empire. Daniel had some confidence in him. Daniel was doing something with his gifts and talents, and it was enabling him to live his best life. He wasn't afraid. He was walking in confidence, and he was getting noticed for it. Real Life tonight, God wants us to realize that just like Daniel, there are intrinsic gifts and abilities that God has placed within you to lead and impact this world that surrounds you. Every single person in this room has the gift of heaven on their life. You are unique. God has placed something inside of you that He hasn't given anyone else. You have an ability to change the world. All you have to do is stop being afraid to use it. You got to get out of your comfort zone and let God do His thing in you and through you. God placed great ability in Daniel, and God has placed talents and abilities in you to change the world around you. God was promoting Daniel, but success does not shield us from adversity. With new levels come new devils. Can I get a witness? And so Daniel chapter 6, verse 4, the story continues. Other administrators and high officers began searching for some fault in the way that Daniel was handling his governmental affairs. But they couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn him. He was faithful, always responsible, completely trustworthy. So they concluded our only chance of finding grounds for accusing Daniel would be in connection with the rules of his religion. So the administrators and high officers went to the king and said, "Long live the king. We are all in agreement that the king should make a law that will be strictly enforced. King, give orders that for the next 30 days, if any person prays to anyone, divine or human, except for you, our majesty, they will be thrown into the den of lions and eaten to death." The one thing that Daniel, above the rest, was faithful in was his relationship with God. In real life, Daniel's story should help us realize tonight that the world around you will attack the very thing you're good at and make you feel insecure and afraid. You may be good at one thing, but the world is going to attack you for it. And just because they do, that doesn't mean you stop. When I got here, I learned 3.5 years ago when I first came to real life that people would pay more attention to a mispronounced word than the main points in my sermon. If my voice, there were times at the beginning where I would, my voice would crack. You know, I'd say something silly. I would mispronounce something, or I'd say something that was like, "Hey, yo, it's dope, man. It's dope." I'd say something that was not cool, trying to be cool, right? Dad jokes for days. And I learned that not you, but other real life students would make fun of me, and they would remember the stupid thing I said and not the powerful thing I said. And the very thing that I'm gifted to do, which is communicate, people would try to come against me and make me feel insecure about it. There are gifted vocalists in this room tonight that won't step up and sing on this stage because they're afraid to miss a note from time to time. There's people in this room, you have a brilliant mind. You are a future scientist, a future economist. There's future entrepreneurs and doctors that are holding back in school right now because you're afraid to catch flack for applying yourself academically. And you're afraid, even though you probably possess the cure for cancer within you. Your brilliance is the cure, and you've got the key to unlock a future of health across our planet. But the insecurity that's coming because people will attack your place of giftedness, it keeps you back and it holds you. There are creatives in this room that should be standing out, but because of insecurity, you're hiding and blending in. You've got to get out of your fears tonight, real life. The cultural leaders, man, that were around Daniel, they hated Daniel, and they put a plan into place because to cause him to be afraid, to do the very thing that unlocked his success. They said, if anyone prays to anyone but the king, man, we'll throw him in the pit of lions. See, they understood that fear kills more dreams than failure ever will. Fear kills more dreams than failure ever will. So they tried to stop Daniel with fear. They told him if he prayed, they'd literally kill him. And our world is just as unforgiving. Can I get a witness? It's just as unforgiving. People will notice when you begin to step up and step out in faith, and some people will hate you for it, but that doesn't stop you. You've got something powerful in you. The same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead lives in you, so you should not be afraid. Our real life, someone's jealousy for the favor of God that is on your life should not stop you from being all that God has created you to be. Just because someone else gets insecure about how you're living your best life doesn't mean you stop living your best life because of fear and insecurity. In 2 weeks from tonight, we're purposely having a student takeover service. We want as many of you to get involved as possible. And we're going to do this because I believe it's your time to step up and get out of your comfort zones and lead. It's your time. I believe that if you were doing what God has called you to do fully and faithfully, we wouldn't have empty seats in this room. If you were doing what you were supposed to do, walking with courage, walking in faith, believing God for impossible things, not just this room would be filled with the glory of God, but your school would be filled too. Because you don't just have the glory of God in this room, you take it with you wherever you go. Praise God. In 2 weeks, if you can sing, we want you singing. If you are competitive, praise God, we want you leading us in a fun game. If you have a heart for missions, we want you to lead in the offering time. If you play instruments, we want you to lead this band. If you are good with social media, we want you running the Instagram story. If you have a heart to preach, we want you to preach God's word in 2 weeks. I'm going to give up this pulpit because it's time for you to lead. It's time for you to stop being afraid. It's time for you to walk in God's purpose for your life. Here's why. An internal confidence in God should be producing an external expression of faith to the world around us. If you are confident, people should know. If you are confident in your God, people should see it. Either we are letting our fear overcome us, or we're allowing our faith to shine. It's one or the other. There's no middle ground. If our culture is against us, we must not be afraid. Daniel was being singled out, and I'm sure he had a significant amount of anxiety flood his mind when he heard the law of the king. And I know it's not easy to get in front of your peers and take a risk and to try to do something great and to strive to make a difference in the world. Many of you said one of your fears is failure. I understand it, but I believe God wants us to step up, real life. Instead of bowing down to the norms of our culture and trying to conform to the patterns that they try to place on us, it's time to stand up and be all that God's created us to be. Romans 12, verse 2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to be tested and approved to see what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Man, guys, fear kills more dreams than failure ever will. If you fail, get back up again. Proverbs says that the righteous fall 7 times, but they get back up again. The other week, my son had a basketball game with Columbus Youth Basketball. He's trying to hoop, ball his life, and his team was losing terribly. He was struggling. They were struggling to catch up. Literally, they lost by almost 30 points. I'm sorry. It was a terrible game. But it was amazing. At one point, my son got the ball. They chunked him the ball. He was like literally 2 feet away from the three-point line. He's 9. 9-year-olds don't shoot three-pointers. And so he's 2 feet behind the three-point line, and two people quickly begin to trap him. He doesn't know what to do. He's never played organized basketball before. And so the moment he gets the ball, these two people are swarming him. He literally takes the basketball like a baseball and chunks it at the goal as hard as he could. It was literally this moment where everybody in the gym was like, oh. It was that weird basketball moment where everybody's like, that was really awkward. Why'd he do that? Oh my gosh, did you see that? And so it was out of the norm. But I asked him, I said, "Damien, why did you do that After the game, we were talking. I'm trying to coach him. I'm trying to be a good dad. And he said, "Dad, we needed the points." And so I saw 3 points are more than two, so I might as well try. And so in his childlike mind, he said, "I don't care what people think. We need 3 points. So I'm going to do what it takes." My son taught me that it's better to try and make a difference and fail than to do nothing because of fear. It's better to try to make a difference and fail than to do nothing because you're afraid. Jordan said, "We miss every shot we choose not to take." The story of Daniel should challenge us tonight to live more fearlessly. Daniel's enemies knew his relationship with God was his source of strength that caused success in his life. The challenge is this tonight. If the people who surround our lives don't know we are devoted followers of Jesus, we are allowing fear to overcome our created purpose. If the people you rub shoulders with on a daily basis don't know you love Jesus, you're walking in fear. The good news is this: facing and overcoming your fears and anxieties will unlock your best life, real life. Facing your fear, facing the things that make you anxious, I promise you that will unlock your best life. I'm going to invite the band to come as we close tonight. My favorite part of this story in Daniel chapter 6 is this passage starting in verse 10. This is what happened. Daniel heard the consequence for praying. In verse 10 it says, "But when Daniel learned the law that had been signed into law, he went home and he knelt down as usual in his upstairs room. And not only did he kneel like he normally did, with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he prayed not once. He prayed not twice. He prayed 3 times a day, just as he had always done, not being apprehensive, not being afraid, not bowing down, but with boldness and confidence, he gave thanks to his God. And when the officials went together to Daniel's house, they found him praying and asking for God's help." My guess is they probably heard him praying something like this: "God, I don't know what's going on. I don't understand why these things are happening. You've been setting me up for success. You've given me favor with my king. And now he's trying to put a stop to my relationship with you. But God, I love you too much to allow anyone to separate me from you. I know you've created me for such a time as this. And so God, give me help. I need you. I can't do this without you." That's what I imagine his prayer would be like. Daniel's enemies took this information to the king at once to try to take him down. In verse 16, it says, "So at last, the king reluctantly orders Daniel to be arrested and thrown into the den of lions. And the king said to him, 'May your God, whom you serve so faithfully, rescue you.' A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the lion's den, and the king sealed the stone with his royal seal, the seal of the nobles, so that no one could rescue Daniel." There was no hope. I believe that there's probably quite a few people in this room tonight that feel like there's no hope. There's quite a few people that are facing some situations that are causing you such fear and anxiety in your life, and you think, absolutely no one can help me. There's something stopping anyone from helping me. They put a stone to prevent anyone from helping Daniel. In real life, God sent me to tell somebody tonight, the best position to be in is when your only source of help is to rely on God. The absolute best place you can be in this life is where your only source of help can come from Jesus. Daniel trusted God and rejected his fears. And guys, there were lions surrounding him, but the Lord sent angels to powerfully shut their mouths. And scripture says that they found Daniel the next day unharmed, without even a scratch on their body. There was nothing to be afraid of because God was with him. We have an enemy that prowls like a roaring lion, but we have a God that shuts the mouth of lions. So tonight I want to invite you to stand to your feet. As you do, leaders, come quickly. Every head bowed, every eye closed as we wrap this up tonight. Tonight you're in the house. And there's a lot of things in your life that you've been afraid to give to God because you think he won't love you. You've been afraid to surrender some things in your life because you're anxious about what the consequences might be if you actually admit that you're a sinner that needs grace. Tonight, I believe that there's some people in this room that have been living not their best life simply because they're afraid to trust God with their life. And so right now in this moment, with every head bowed, every eye closed, you'd say, Pastor, before we go any further, I think it's important that we deal with the fear of your salvation. Because many of us in this room, I believe, if you're honest with yourself and with God, you'd recognize that if something were to happen, God forbid tonight, if something were to happen and you passed away, your relationship with God is so distant and it's so removed. You've allowed the voices in our culture. You've allowed the influences that surround you to cause you to be afraid to live for Jesus. And so instead of living your life for him, you've denied him by the way you walk. So tonight, the first opportunity that I want to give, with every head bowed, every eye closed, you're in this room and you've been afraid because you don't know where you'll go if you pass away sometime soon. You can have an assurance that you will spend eternity with Jesus in heaven if you'll surrender your heart, surrender your failures, surrender your faults, and allow his grace to forgive you, allow his mercy to fall, allow the forgiving power of the cross of Jesus Christ to lift every sin off of your back, to wash you as white as snow. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, you're in this house tonight, and you say, Pastor, I need Jesus. I want to go to heaven. I want him to save my soul. I want to be forgiven. I don't want to hold on to the shame and guilt anymore. I want to walk in freedom. I don't want to be afraid anymore. If that's you, hold your hand up high. I want to pray for you right now. All across this room, thank you, Jesus. He loves you so much. The Bible says there is therefore no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus, that neither height nor depth nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come can separate you from the love of God. So all you have to do is reach out and say, Jesus, I want you tonight. I want you tonight. Forgive me. Set me free. One more chance. If that's what you want tonight, lift your hand up and hold it high all across this room. Dear Jesus, you see every hand. God, I pray that the grace of God would begin to fall on every hand that's lifted all across this room. May there be a supernatural freedom. God, may the forgiving grace of your cross be poured out over every sin, over every failure, over every insecurity. And God, we rebuke fear from this point on. We will live for you. We will fight for you. We will be all that you've created us to be. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Can we praise God for all the people who just gave their heart to him? Hallelujah. Here's what we're going to do. We're about to get our worship on. And if you gave your heart to Jesus, we want to see you tonight. There is a card in the back of your chair. If you'll give us some information and give it to our Next Steps booth that's in the Real Life Cafe. If you don't have a Bible, we'll give you a free Bible so that you can get your relationship with Jesus right, that you can walk by faith and not by sight. But here's the deal. God's called all of us. Now I believe, I'm praying that all of us are on our way to heaven. Praise Jesus. And so now, God doesn't just save us to set us free. He saves us to change the world. So God has placed things in you that you've been afraid of. There's insecurity in your life. There's things that are causing you to be anxious. It's time to lay them at the altar of God. It's time to trade your fear for courage. It's time to trade your insecurity for confidence. It's time to get up on the inside and start living for your God. So if you need prayer, get to these altars right now in Jesus' name.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed, make sure you hit the subscribe button for our weekly sermons, and don't forget to follow us on social media for updates. If you have any prayer requests, feel free to email us at reallifecolumbus@gmail.com. We'd love to partner with you in prayer. Be sure to tune in next week on the Real Life Podcast.